Amen. Last week, the kid I dismissed. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you. Last week is the first Sunday of the New Year, and it's the New Year Day, and Pastor Ho led us in the service to introduce, to kick off the theme for our church this year, which is, Lawrence, can you find the PowerPoint? Yeah, okay. Live out your faith. That's the theme. And today I continue to talk not about, it's related to our theme, but more about the goals of our church and the strategies of reaching those goals. By God's grace, we may be able to do that. And I have a PowerPoint with James. Can you see that, Lawrence? I don't know. Yep, right. That's right. And I want us to read a passage of scripture because the pastoral staff has chosen to study the book of James in order to, and Pastor Ho agree, and he said, okay, let us choose a book. I recommend the book of James, which will fit very, very nicely for helping us to understand and to carry out the theme of 2023, live out your faith. Will you join me reading the passage of scripture by standing up, and we'll read it out together, and I want you to really read it with me. And it's from James chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. So let us begin. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured. Then desire, when it has conceived, give birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Thank you. Please be seated. James told us that God helped those who are going through trials. And in his prayer, Sam prayed, and I think he is right, is that those trial and tribulation, he call it a tricky moment. Tricky moment. It is tricky because you can become a better person or you can become a worse person. It depends on how you respond to those trials, right? It's the same thing. Satan wants you to fail. You may still remember what Pastor Ho explained, the first passage. And he encouraged us to stand firm, live out our faith. And basically trials in life, sometimes people call it temptation, or the Bible translate it as temptation. Basically, it's the same thing. It's a situation in life. It's a difficult time, affliction. So you understand suffering. All those moments, those tricky moments, it can be painful too. It can be hard. Oh, it's so hard. You don't understand. It's so hard. You know? And those are the moments we call trials or temptation. But when God, when you look at the point of, from the point, viewpoint of God, God allow this to happen to you. He is to test you. And he wants you to pass the test. You understand? And you pass the test, you get promoted, right? That's the way we finish school. You got tests, and then you promote to a higher grade, and then eventually you graduate, and you become perfect in that sense. And then if you look at Satan's point of view, Satan said, God doesn't love you. You see, you got all this problem. Why do you believe in him? Just curse him and die. Something like that. Give up, you know. You understand? Right? Are you with me? Okay, very good. Very good. Now, so that's the way. Those are the tricky moments. And, but we want to, of course, we want to obey God. We want to pass the test, and we want to overcome the temptation and come out from the temptation and pass those time of water and fire and become a stronger Christian. And God said, if you can do that, I have special promise for you. You have the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Lawrence, can we post the verses out, the passage in James? And so people, you can understand, you can follow. You can follow me and know what I'm talking about. God has promised to those who love him. Now, if you love God, I think today I'm going to talk about loving God. Okay, just keep the scripture over here. Later on, you'll be able to follow my PowerPoints. And but I do want you to understand the message that God has put in my heart to share with you today. I want to talk about loving God. So we want to love God. That's the most important thing in our life. Correct? Most important thing, greatest commandment, first of all, is to love God. So when we talk about live out your faith, it becomes meaningless if we don't love God. You understand? That's my thinking. You can talk about a lot of things. You can talk about justice. You can talk about doing good work to help human, help the homeless and all this. I believe that God recognized the value of good deeds. I really believe it. I can prove it to you too. God does value, God does pay attention to when so good people do good thing to help people. I think I would not criticize them saying that it's bad. You know, I would never do that. I think God pay attention to people who do good deed. But let me tell you this. Why some of these things in the world, in the society, become quite empty? Because I think they don't love God. And they become arrogant. And the result would be meaningless to me. The ultimate, from the viewpoint of the Bible, from the viewpoint of God, you do good deeds, but you'll never be able to earn salvation. Now, we understand that. We will never be able to earn eternal life by doing so-called good work. That's why we need Jesus. So we need to learn how to love God instead of just shouting out a slogan. Let us love people. Let us do good. Now, if we don't love God, we fail to love God, we fail to obey God, then all the things doesn't really end up important to God. Yeah, it may have a value, but the value is very little. and it doesn't really save you. So I want us to understand that. Do you love me? Do you love me more than this? I'm not quoting the lyrics of popular songs. You heard those songs. Do you love me? Do you still love me? Right? You heard of those things. But I'm not talking about that. Not just, I think everybody care about love. Do you love me? You know, in relationship. I think God care a lot about that. Do you love me? I'm quoting Jesus. Do you love me more than this? I'm quoting Jesus. He asks us. So I think today, I'll talk about a simple, just want to put a thought in your heart, in your mind. Ask yourself, do you really love God? How important is He in your life? Are you obeying Him? Stop talking about all the other ideals. Empty slogan is that it just talk about an ideal without loving God. So my purpose is to encourage you to love God. This is just very simple, just a thought. Because I'm going to go through the goals and the strategy of our theme this year. Live out, what is it? Live out. Live real faith. Yeah, Samuel, louder. Okay. Samuel, I know you. And you don't have to be shy. Okay. You just, and I see your lips moving. Well, just say, live out your faith. You know, and that will make me happy. Okay. Michael can help me too. Michael. And all of you, Barry, Eileen, I want you to just be with me. I don't want you to just come to church and sit here and be bored. Nobody want to bore church. One of the things is makes me happy is when I come to church, I see people happy. I see the kids running around, you know. I hate to go to a church, look like a museum, you know. And I don't mind at all. Some people don't like little kids running around. I love it. I love it. When I see kids, I don't mind. I said, if they mess up things, I just ask somebody clean it up. Okay. Barry, clean it up. You know, Sam, clean it up. That's okay. We want a good church, exciting church, a happy church, a church to love God. And so anyway, so I want you to be happy. I want you to be excited about coming to church. It's not like, you know, oh, I have to go to church again, you know. That would be terrible. I never allow you yourself to go to that, go there, okay? So always sing, I love God. I want to worship God. I want to sing with Sam. The problem I have, Sam, is sometimes I don't know your songs. Sometimes, you know, when you sing the love of God, oh, I love it. And not because I know that song, you know, out of 5 songs, if you can sing 1 or 2 old songs, hymns, you know, I love new songs. I'm not against it. I encourage people, worship from 25 years ago. And some people don't allow this and that, drums and so. I said, what's wrong with that, you know? Let us use it and sing new songs and so on. Because we want our church and to be an exciting church. We want our church to grow. Do you care? So that is why we love God. That's why we talk about live out your faith. You don't love God, forget it. Everything is become meaningless. Really, really, I mean it. So go down to the outline. I want to tell you, and then we'll go to the strategy and the goals. I thought loving God, and I base upon this, I would say never blame God. Because according to passage, God promised that He will help those who are going through tricky moments, those afflictions and problems and suffering in life. But you know, brothers and sisters, we have a tendency when difficulty come, What do? We blame God, right? Then I'm thank you. We blame God. I was talking to a sister of Sister Lily, and she's very kind. She took us out, my son, out to lunch. We were just talking. And she said she has a burden for church, and she could have found another church when her parents passed away, but she said we chose to stay in the church. That touched my heart. Chinese church. They chose to stay. They said, we want to continue with the legacy of our parents. We want to build up the church. He said that they observe what they observed in the past 3 years. And when the pandemic hit, he said, people blame God. And she said, she may not even know that I'm going to quote her, but I was listening with great interest. He said, people blame God. We shouldn't do that. We should never blame God. We should ask ourselves, what does God want to speak to us? It was so good. It speaks to my heart. That her comment, casual comment. And as I prepared a message, as I'm assigned by Pastor Ho to preach this message. And so I said, it fits. It don't blame God. Don't blame God. Love God. People, listen, love God, don't blame God. God wants to speak to us in our tribulation. Why? Because this world is a sinful world. People have to pay attention to me. I allow this to happen. I allow lives to be taken because of the pandemic. I want people to know. One day, every person has to stand in front of me and face judgment if they do not forgive, if they do not confess their sin and receive my forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That's what I think. That's the message. I hear what God is saying to me. I'm not scared. I want to be careful. But I don't blame God. God, thank you. Thank you for giving us a warning. I'm listening to you. I could have died. I didn't die of COVID. I'm still standing. I had it. When my wife was very, very sick, I got COVID. But what do? I said, God, give me grace. Protect my wife. So that she won't get it. And God answered my prayer. I continue to care for my wife. She didn't get sick. I love God. Because I love God, I don't blame God. Always trust in God. And you know that. Always trust in God. Because God is what? God is, we always say that. Huh? Li Chen, help me. God is good. God is good. He gives good things to us. Always. You name it. Brother and sister, we have to be reminded. Everything that is good in our life comes from God. Amen? Can I get an amen? Yeah. Good. Now we are engaged. We can talk more. I hate a boring church. I hate a dying church. I hate a lukewarm church. It saddens me when I see a church is going downhill. So we need to remind ourselves. We need to be revived. I have a lot of things to be thankful for. I thank God for all of you. You're here with me. You're here serving God. I thank God for Sam. Standing here leading so every week. I want some of you young people. You go to Sam. You say, you tell Uncle Sam, I know how to play guitar. Can I help you? I want every one of you to think of something that you can do to live out your faith. Can you do that, Samuel? Can you do that, Kill? Give a hand to Kill and Jennifer. They got, just got engaged. Give them a hand. Give them a hand right there. Kill. Yeah. I heard it through the grapevine. Somehow you didn't tell me, but I heard it. So I saw your fiance. I saw Jennifer. I'm very happy for you. She came down from Buffalo to worship with us today. All right. I want every one of you. I want you to love God. Love God more. Do you love me? Do you love me more than this? This means anything. It can be anything. Do you love me more than your family? Do you love me more than your employment? Do you love me more than your bank account? You heard Sam's prayer. And it's a pity. Sometimes we care about things with of the world more than we care about what God thinks. And we need to repent. We need to change. So let's quickly go down because Pastor Ho introduced the theme. He repeated so many times. Live out your faith, live out your faith. So I'm going to continue with the emphasis. But I take a little a step because he didn't go through the goals. So I want you to know what the church wants to do. 2023. I don't want you to come to church and say, I don't know what we're doing. We can't just say, I do the things that God told us to do in the Bible. Yes, we know, but you have to have a focus. You can't do everything at one time, right? That's why we pick something to do in different stages. So this year we pick something to do. And beginning with 2023, theme verse, Lawrence, those are put together by our chairman. Live out your faith, theme verse, Colossians 2:6. Now read with me that theme verse. And I want you to, if you're able to, next week or so, remember, memorize this verse. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, then what? Continue to live your lives in Him. Continue. We don't give up. We don't stop. Continue. That is a proof of true spirituality. You continue. Live your life in Christ. Christ, love God. In everything, perfect submission, perfect obedience. That's what you and I need to imitate. Okay? Loving God. Now, what we want to do now, stated goals in 2023 to 2026, next 3 years, expand to 300 people in weekly attendance at RCCC, W, okay? To give you an idea, 2022, approximately there are 110 people in a mother church in the east side and 60 at the west side at RCCC West. Now, some people didn't even realize it. This is not a new high. We are at a low right now. We actually have 300 people before. Maybe a little bit more. At the highest point of a number in terms of, but I'm not just so much, numbers are very important. I don't want to defend, but I think numbers are important because people are important. Right? So, do you think we can do it? Huh? Amen. Hallelujah.
I think so. Why do we have so many pews? If you don't believe it, tear it down, just save a few. Like today, all of you can sit in the first three rows. Why do we have the expansion of the family center?
Why do we need more classrooms? Right? Shenhua, you know. You remember our previous days when we don't have a family center, Barry, you know, Eileen, you know, you grew up from here, right? Why? Because we want the church to grow. We want to have more people to come to salvation, knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ. Okay, now, so pray about that. You can help. Bring a friend. Bring a friend. I try to bring 7 people. I connect with 3 families. I brought 4 of them to church last Sunday. You don't know. I contact them, I arrange rides for them. Today, I want to see all 7 of them show up, hopefully. But usually, maybe if they 3 of them show up, it will be pretty good. But I try. I do my part. Can you help? Can you bring a friend? Timothy, can you bring a friend from your high school? Or Zachary, you know? Or, you know, yes, a Q brought one friend, but his fiance today. So we all can do that. I just want you to know. Setting a goal, that means get involved. Right? Okay, so reverse. We will grow our total annual giving by 10%. Do you think we can do it? Don't nod your head, because you may have to open your wallet. I told the church, I said, don't pay me. You don't have to pay me. I come and do anything for church, but they're very kind. They give me a conversation, but I don't need your money personally. I don't. I really don't. You give your money to God. I give my money to God too. Maybe not as much as you do, because you make more money. But do you think, I talked to West Side last week. I was assigned to preach in the West Side. I said, Chun Yen, she's a real estate agency. She's the first one to reply, yes, we can do it. I said, amen. I said, God will help you to sell 1 more house next year. That's all. And you give 10%, right? Am I right? Am I making sense? Sam, am I making sense? Yeah, you do need a job. You do need an employer. But our security is not in them. But it's provided by God. Your job is given to you by God. Amen? Right. And then the money is given to you by God. Because God gives you the strength and wisdom and the skills to do the work. That's why you have the job. But it's God. Right? I think we all understand that. Can we do that? Of course. It's the easiest thing. Right? Right, Jack? 10% more? You know, I think you got maybe increase in your salary, you know, more than that. So you get just 10% over what you have been given. Can we do that? And then the church would say, so I'll give you an idea, a point of reference. 2023 budget increase our mission giving by 10%. Okay? That will be a church goal. Right? And if you give, because you don't even know how to separate the money, which part go to mission. So we did that. Church did that. So we will increase, we hope, as our a total income increase, we'll increase our mission offering, giving out 10% more. 2023 budget increased by 1.3%. Tiny little bit. That means 2022 mission budget was 79,200. And 2023 we'll be giving out 8,220. That's very, very minimum. So we can do it. I just want to encourage you. We can do it. We are not just talking in emptiness. Work to have our CCCW financially independent. That's why I emphasized on that point last week. I said, I want you to know next year, this year, we want you to become stronger financially. Because one of the conditions for you to become an independent church is that you'll be able to take care of yourself financially. They were able. But West Side has their challenge because a lot of them are students. You don't expect a student. You only expect you give some use money to help them. You don't expect them to get money from them. They don't have a job, they don't have salary. So, and then a lot of elderly people, you know, and immigrant, old elder parents coming here to take care of grandchildren of their children. And their children usually don't come to church. And they come to church and they don't have much money. So, but I told them that you can, but before they were able to do that, and I'm just putting a thought in their midst, I said that you all need to pray about this. Because next year we want you to become financially independent. Call an English pastor. We just have to do that. I'm not your English pastor. Even I can fill in, it won't be very long. And, you know, I do care about you. I do care about the congregation. I care about everyone. But we need a pastor to do a better job, to focus. Do you want that? Barry, do you want a new, a humble, God-loving, people-loving pastor? You do, right? And you've been faithful. Well, the best thing is when I come back to church to see you still here. And I have a special connection with them because I officiated, am I right? I officiated their wedding right here. So I'm very happy. So we call our English pastor. They've been faithful in here in the congregation. Always. You can rely on them. They always sit there, you know, show up. And just like Lily and Mimi, ordain a pastor and elder. You talk about it in the church. Ordain, you know, we have a potential. Right now we have a new a seminary graduate, and Ding Lick his name, and is Ting Kia. He's very good. He's young, 26 years old, but he's learning. He's teachable, and by God's grace, we already approved to hire him, offer him a job. So if you know, and when we pass the motion of calling him to be a full-time worker, he stood up, he turned around, and he took a bow. I said, now you remember this moment. I remember this is a tricky moment. To, you know, a good thing. Sometimes, you know, that's the way that he will get his stay, got to stay in the United States. But I said, that is not your goal. Your goal is to love God. Your love goal is to serve God. Your goal is to love church and serve the church. So when you get a green card, you don't just bye-bye church, you know. I said, I'll hold you accountable. And I told you right at this moment, you don't do that. You know, I talked to him about that. I've seen just too many things in my life. People are ungrateful. They use the church, and that's very bad. And enough of that. And then start an adult or children choir. Do you think it's possible? Amy, do you think that's possible? I'm sorry, I have to you know, put the, because she's a graduate from Eastman School of Music, you know, I know she won, you know. And do you have hope? What are you thinking about? What can we do for the children? How can I grow them? How can I encourage them to serve God? It's hard. But do you think children can serve God? Of course. Right? Is, you saw that little boy? Oh, I was in West Side for the Christmas program. There was a children choir singing. Everybody was in tune, was listening, singing the song. There was the youngest little boy, 3-year-old. He clapped throughout the whole song. He was just like that. Everybody was singing, but he was upward at the beginning. And then, but when I spoke, I said that little boy is serving God because he's doing his best. Like the little drummer boy. That's what I said. If you were there and you remember, that's what I said. That little boy, 3-year-old, he didn't know anything. I said, he's doing the best for God. And everybody was laughing and happy. That was one thing that you can think about, Amy, Shen Huang. Those, you know, major in music. And I cannot do that. I can tell them a story. I can tell them about my pet, my buffalo, when I grow up. When they want to talk to Pastor Tang, they all would ask, Pastor Tang, do you have a pet when you were young? I said, yeah, I have a buffalo. You know, and they never heard of someone had a buffalo as a pet, because I really don't. I have dogs too, but anyway. But children can serve God. Children choir, adult choir. Yeah, I saw the choir ropes hanging in the room. Some of them fell on the floor. I feel very bad. I said, Pastor Ho, can we straighten up this? You know, I said, maybe one day we'll have choir again. And we can still use those blue, beautiful choir rope, right? You know, so anyway, that's just my dream. I'm dreaming with you. Are you following me? Do you have dream? Do you have dream for your church? People? What can we do? Love God. God, I love you. What can I do for you to make the church a better church? Better place? Show me. Let me tell you, God will show you. All of you. You all are useful to God. And you can do something. These are our goals. Now, so we talk about, then we come down. Plans for 2023. Care. These three categories summarized by three C words is outstanding. It's done by Lawrence. His idea. Care. Visit, reach out to congregation, both present and those who have not returned since COVID, establish and strengthen caring teams. Connect, cross fellowship among fellowship groups and ministries, encourage fellowship groups and encourage fellowship group participation. Okay. And cultivate, the third C word. Set up, develop a system to identify and train more leaders and provide existing teachers with training. Yes, Friday, we had staff meeting. I was talking to Pastor Ho and I were talking about planning for teacher training program. And just a program, discipleship program that will help our church to raise up more leaders. So let us, this last comment is from Lawrence. So let us take action together this year in living out our faith by caring for, connecting with, and cultivating each other, all in Jesus' name. Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in Him. Now, so I only have now after these are the goals for 2023, and then looking forward a little bit. Next 2 years, 2024, 2025, 20 up to 2026. These are some of the things that we want to do. So you know now what we want to do. Next time, when people ask you, what are you doing in church? Don't just say, I don't know what we're doing. I tell you, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to emphasize in 2023. And then, so to conclude, I want to read you. Some of you have read all this. I just want to bring it up, articulate it, talk about it together as a family, church family. Because you receive in your email, you may not even pay attention to it. Because you remember so many every so often. We are serious. Because we love God. We are not just talking, shouting, just creating something new so we can have a slogan. Do this, we can overcome, you know. Overcome what? Do what? Be kind to what? Do you love God? Jesus would come back and say, do you love me? We want to do what we believe God has called to do as an individual Christian and as a Christian church. That's what we want to do. We are not going to care about what our society goals emphasize. We are not following the trend of the world. We want to be faithful in doing what God wants us to do. Whoever, Jesus said, has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That's what Jesus said. So there are two characteristics I already told you. If you love God, you don't blame God in time of difficulty. Learn to listen to God. If you do that, you'll realize, oh, pandemic is a good thing because it really tells me that my life is so fragile. I can die tomorrow. I don't know. I hope you live to 100 years old. I'm not saying anything bad to you. But you understand? But you have to learn how to understand God's will. So we have wisdom by numbering our days and make use of our time to do what is pleasing to God. So we don't blame God. We trust God. We'll be blessed if we love God. Let me tell you why it's so important to love God. Because first of all, it's the commandment. Matthew 22, Deuteronomy 6:4. Love God with all your heart, all your heart, all your strength, all your everything. That's a commandment. He said, oh, okay, I got it. But then God said, I will bless you. God, first of all, God will say, if anyone loves me, God knows. Now, isn't that a comfort? Sometimes you think, if I love God, I do something for God, nobody knows. Why do I do it? Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter if people know. Most important thing is that God knows. If you love God, you do it for God. God knows. 1 Corinthians 8:3. And you know what? You know Romans 8:28. Don't you? Romans 8:28. You memorize it. All things work together for those who finish the verse. For those who, Billy, you know it. I have expectation on you. For those who love God. No matter what is happening to you, no matter how tricky life can get, if you love God, you can trust him. He will cause all things to work together for your good. Do you think that's good? So, we have a good God. I have to end. Without going any further, I want, this time, I come back. I have to admit, because I know about somebody thing that happened in here. And I come back, and to me, there's a difference. I feel the difference. Forgive me. And I was, in a way, I am a thankful person, I believe. I don't blame God. I trust in him. Whatever happened in church, whatever happened in my life, but I have to tell you, I have some sadness in my heart when I return to church. Not because of you. I already said I love you and I'm I thank God for all of you because you are still here. I could have come back and it's empty. No people here. No Barry, no Eileen, no Sam, no Sean. No, you are here. So I'm thankful. But I have some sadness, some disappointment, which I confess, until I read Lauren's letter. And God spoke to me. You all received the letter, thank you letter, from Lawrence, don't you? From, if you're a member of the church. You know what he said? Now, I want to read it, because it is an eye-opening, it is correction for me, because he's so positive, he's so grateful to God, we should. So I learned this lesson from him. Post your letter. Please, no, I want to. I'm in charge here now. Do that. In my PowerPoint. You forgot it? Sam, you forgot to put it on? Now, I read it to you. I have it here. Now, listen. It is really good. It is a correction for me, and now I'm thankful. I learned it from this little boy. 25 years ago, he's still a little boy. Now he grew up, he's a chairman of the board. He has brought a lot of joy to my heart, and his wife, Macy, amazing couple, amazing leaders. And he said, Lawrence, say, thank you, RCCC. You remember now? You remember that letter? He said, hello, RCCC friend and family. During this time of Advent, that was back in Christmas, December, I wanted to write a note thanks to everyone as we wrap up this year. This has truly been a year where I feel blessed to be serving amongst many faithful brothers and sisters here at RCCC. See, and from those faithfully serving in the children ministry to the brothers and sisters serving lunch to those who serve behind the scenes to make sure our services run smoothly to those who help maintain the building to countless others who serve each other and every week. It has been a joy to be able to serve alongside so many people. Our CCC would not be possible without the service and dedication of its people. Amen. And I'm very touched. It may be hard, but you stand firm. You hold the fort. As we look into 2023, not only will we be celebrating the 20th anniversary of the start of RCCC's debut, our brand church in the West Side, but we will also be celebrating 40th anniversary of RCCC, Rogers Chinese Christian Church. 40 years. What a number. Good number. Important number. Important milestone. You read it from the Bible. 40 years. It's significant. Over the course of 40 years, it's been amazing to see God's faithfulness here, which I'm personally attest to, having grown up in this church while people have come and gone. God has always been present here. Amen. What a statement. And continue to be present as we move forward. So as we celebrate Christmas and New Year, I'm thankful to the Lord for being able to serve here at RCCC with you all and look forward to continuing to serve alongside everyone in the future. You got a sense of what's on his heart, Lawrence? Thank you, Lauren. We need to say thank you to you. You're such a blessing, you and your wife, your family. So we're a future because we have God. We have a future because we love God. We want to please God. We want to do what is pleasing to him. What he has commanded us to do in obedience. That's all. So get involved. Love God first. Then go from there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. You are a good God. All good gifts, all good presents come from you. And you never change. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Your goodness is running after us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We give all the glory to you and help each one of us to do our part to make this church a church that is a blessing to others and to be a blessing, to be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.